content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the new standard in pet food, the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. Crazy Water, infused by Mother Nature, not some random factory. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorn Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the OneLifeRadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hello, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How are you doing today, Ronaldo?
I'm doing great, Bernadette. Ready to go higher.
Ready to go higher?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. We've got a great show lined up. I'm going to introduce Jared Ramirez here in just a minute. He is the CEO of Enviromedica. We're going to be talking about their new product, Immuniflora. I'm waiting for mine to come in the mail. I ordered 5 more boxes to give away. You're going to be getting one of those, Ronaldo. You know how I like to do that with everyone on the staff to keep everybody healthy and strong. And on the second half of the show, we've got Maury Fontanez. She is a purpose coach and the founder and CEO of the 822 Group, and we're going to be talking about dealing with gender bias in corporate America. That should be interesting, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have my own ideas about that. I think sometimes women are more prejudiced against other women than men are. So we're going to talk all about it. I know I've experienced that myself, you know, as I've moved through the years in my career. But it's always great to have Jared Ramirez on the show with us. As I said, he is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. Enviromedica is a natural health and wellness company that was founded in 2007, inspired by nature and ancestral health. They really do make premium, the most amazing foundational products to support whole body nutrition and heal people so they can achieve their optimal health, which is important to all of us, especially now. You can visit them at enviromedica.com. And it's always great. Jared, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Yourself?
Yeah. No, I got a lot of energy. Can you tell?
I sure can. Well, you always have a lot of energy.
So. I do. Well, you know, I have a lot to take care of around this house. You know, I joke about it, but I really do sing the song Green Acres to stop myself from really losing it sometimes. There's so much to do. For example, I found a rat in the filter of my pool this morning. So,
oh, no.
I know, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, really? Seriously? But, you know, I got the bleach out, cleaned it up, did what I had to do, and called the pool guy. So that kind of stuff just happens. And and stuff in life just happens to all of us. And so we need to have a good attitude and we need to take care of our health. And that starts with our gut, absolutely being at the top, I feel, of that list, along with some good old fashioned sunshine. But, you know, I'm so excited, truly excited that Immuniflora is here. And I want our listeners to really understand what a great product this is. So let's talk about it. But before that, I want to know, what was the decision, or why did you decide to create Immuniflora? What makes it so different from everything else?
Great question. So, you know, we really identified a need in the market for a natural supplement that comprehensively supported both arms of the immune system, the innate and the adaptive immune system. But more importantly, did so in a very robust way. And, you know, behind that, that it works, right? So there needed to be a deep clinical substantiation behind it. And, you know, because most of the immune products in the market activate very specific components of the immune system, mm-hmm. but not necessarily in a comprehensive format. And then, you know, beyond that, there's typically, you know, more or less weak substantiation for how these products work and what the biological benefits are.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a third layer to that is that we wanted to create something that was compatible with a very wide audience. You know, kids, adults, children, seniors. You know, it's a very flexible product. Very low, a low dose is required. It's a very one small capsule per day. And also that we could, you know, on that same vein, that we could put it into a number of different formats, including, you know, kids chewables and gummies and things like that.
Oh, really?
We're working on that at this time. So the capsules are just the first product.
But, I can't wait.
But yeah, those are the drivers behind it.
Well, that's fantastic, because I have to tell you, as a mom of many years now, that's one of the things that I and my nieces and nephews, like, I'm always worried about them getting probiotics. And there's not a lot of companies out there that actually make probiotics specifically for children that I feel are really effective and work, because, you know, you talk about the two arms of the immune system, the innate and the adaptive. You know, a lot of people don't understand probiotics, that don't have a good science background. And moms just, you know, moms trust and count on companies like yours and doctors and people out there in that field to guide them, you know, to really guide them. So for someone out there listening for the first time, let's say it's a mom and she has no idea what the innate and the adaptive immune system are. Can you explain it to her?
Sure. So the innate immune system is your first line of response. That's your first, that's your immune system's first response. The adaptive immune system is also referred to as your acquired immune system. So that's the immune system that's learned through exposure to different immune challenges. Could be a virus or bacteria, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. It's like your history, kind of.
Correct. You know, and you know, to that effect, you know, the history in terms of how long your body remembers how to respond to certain immune challenges can vary widely depending on the person and also depending on what the challenge is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's difficult to navigate sometimes because there's so much science behind all this. And that's one of the things I love about being on the air with you is getting scientific about it, you know, because I think that's really the best way to understand what it actually does when it enters into our body. But with this particular product, it's got PDCs, the plasma I'm going to pronounce this. Hold on. I practiced before I went live. Plasma cytoid dendritic cells, or PDCs. How do they work, and how do they help our immune system?
You did an excellent job saying that.
Thank you.
So we'll call them PDCs for short. I mean, that's how we refer to them. That's how they're referred to in the literature. You know, back to your question about, you know, what do parents want to know? What do moms want to know? That the question is does it work, right? And how does it work? You know, to the effect of does it work, the answer is yes. I mean, that this product is supported by 25 studies, 9 of those are human clinical trials. And in terms of how it works, that's very well defined in the scientific literature behind this product. PDCs are effectively, if we think about the immune system as an orchestra, each member of that orchestra is a different cell in the immune system, right?
Right.
But there needs to be a conductor of that orchestra. And in the context of the immune system, the PDC is that conductor. So they function as pivotal leaders of the immune system, and they are, you know, most well known for their extraordinary ability to secrete high levels of a protein called, well, their protein's called interferons. And I won't go down that science rabbit hole, but but that is to say that PDCs represent a very highly specialized cell type that provides an early response against immune challenges. And so what Immunoflora does is it activates these PDCs. It primes them. It primes them basically, in effect, it stimulates the body's immune defenses, the natural immune defenses that are already there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so you already said that Immunoflora was a daily supplement. Is there a best time of day to take it, like empty stomach with food, evening, you know, morning? What's the best time to take a supplement like Immunoflora?
Again, you know, so back to what I'd said earlier, we wanted something that was very flexible. You could take it day or night, empty stomach, full stomach, it does not matter. It works through its interaction with the gut immune system and is very gentle on the stomach. It's not a live probiotic, so there's no, adjustment period that's typical with probiotic products.
Yeah, there's so much to know about this. And I know that none of your products need to be refrigerated, which is huge because, when you travel, you can throw this in, you know, the Immunoflora. I haven't received, I had the sample one, but, you know, I gave it to a friend of mine who's fighting cancer. I had gone through about half of the bottle, it was like last week I gave it to her. So I'm waiting for mine to come in the mail and I'm super excited. They actually are in a, they're packaged so that it's individual. Like you pop them out of the little tin foil, like a slidey thing, right?
Yeah,
what do they call that?
They're in little blister cards.
There you go.
Yep, you got it.
Well, you know, let's go to break because I have a ton more questions for you, Jared. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio and Jared Ramirez. He is the CEO of Enviromedica. We will be right back.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah. Get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah.
Yes, I can. Doubt better leave. I'm running with this plan. Pull me, grab me, grab us in the fuck you can't have me. I'll be the president one day. January 1st. Oh, you like that gossip? Like you the one drinking what gossip.com. For your tongue, how many Rolling Stones you want? Yeah, I got a brand new spirit speaking and it's done. Woke up on the side of the bed like I won. Talk like the wind in my chest at that sun. G5 in the U.S. to Taiwan. Now who can say that? I want to play back. Mama knew I was a needle in a haystack. I'm a body boy, plus made back. I got a feeling it's a rap, ASAP.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we are continuing on with Jared Ramirez. He is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. We're talking about their new release of Immunoflora, which is an incredible product. I cannot wait to get mine in the mail. I ordered it a couple of days ago. I'm guessing it'll be here today. And I tried it a couple of weeks ago, and I really could tell a difference, Jared. You know, I really could because... You know, I'm out and about a lot, even though I try not to be. I'm a very busy girl. And so, you know, I go through like these little periods, and I know everyone out there does listening too, where you just feel, you have days where you feel a little green around the gills. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, okay, so like this weekend, you know, I drank a whole bottle of wine on Saturday night. Like, I don't know how I did, but I did. It was really good wine, but I didn't feel so good the next day, you know? And I think we all have days like that, or maybe I think I ate pizza 2 days in a row too. I mean, I lost my mind literally starting Friday afternoon or Friday night. But we all do stuff like that. And so it's important, you know, the message I'm trying to get out is everyone does that from time to time and you do feel a little off. And so it's important to get right back in the game and start, you know, getting back on your supplements, drinking lots of water, being more cognizant of what you put in your mouth and what you drink and all those things, because our immune system is important. And so one of the things that I wanted to ask you, though, is it possible to overactivate our immune system by taking too many supplements?
Well, at least in the context of immunoflora, you know, what we're talking about is stimulating the body's natural defenses to, you know, quote unquote, healthful levels, right? I wouldn't profess to be an expert on every immune supplement, you know, worldwide. I think that there's definitely going to be some supplements out there that could potentially overstimulate the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it is important to choose a supplement that does have a good base of clinical substantiation behind it.
Well, and you said earlier in the broadcast about that you don't need to take, you actually need to take a small amount of immunoflora. Why is that?
It's just the nature of how it works, right? It doesn't require, because of how it works, it's an immune modulator, right? So it works at a small dose. That's how it was tested in the clinical studies. And obviously the lower the dose that you can show efficacy with, the better it's going to be for the end user.
Well, okay. So, does immunoflora replace probiotics, or is it, it's just an addition to, it's a nice enhancement?
Sure. So, immunoflora contains what are called paraprobiotics, which is inactivated. So in this case, they're heat killed. So it's not a probiotic itself, and so it wouldn't have any bearing on you discontinuing a probiotic if that's what you're currently taking.
Well, yeah. Well, I take Deep Immune. That's what I take. And sometimes I take the Women's Daily, you know, with the, it's just, you know, I don't want to get too personal on the air, but sometimes I need the UT support. and a lot of women do, by the way. And some women are just more prone, I think, to UTIs and some are not because of a lot of different factors. Some of it is even just genetic. So immunoflora doesn't replace probiotics. So in your opinion, are there supplements that every adult should take on a daily basis?
So I'm very I'm actually quite conservative when it comes to making those statements, right? You know, some stuff that should be taken on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I'm going to, you know, point towards food-based supplements, food-based products, if that's the case. I think that, you know, immunoflora could definitely represent a very strong inclusion as a daily supplement because it's a very low cost per day in terms of an individual user. It's very robust in terms of the immune support that it delivers. And in the clinical studies that have been conducted, there is some suggestive information that shows long-term benefits are cumulative in some regards.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know the wine story, okay, and the pizza story was relevant. And here's why, because when you do stuff like that and you get out of your regular routine and you start to feel bad. So the first thing I did last night, I was like, oh, my gosh, I need to take, because you get out of the habit of taking your supplements. You know, like I wasn't taking my vitamin D and my vitamin C, like I'm so adamant about Monday through Friday. On the weekends, yeah, I kind of relax. And that goes with forgetting my supplements. But as soon as I took two Deep Immune last night just to give myself an extra boost, because I'm not one of those people that ever learned what the word sparingly means when it comes to stuff like that.
No moderation for you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh, well, two's got to be better than one, because I was feeling just kind of crappy. And sure enough, you know, and I went to bed, I got a pretty good night's sleep, and I feel like a new person today. So I 100% believe in probiotics, and I have for many, many years, because there's so many things in our environment that strips away our good bacteria. And one of them is antibiotics. And antibiotics are even on foods that you don't even suspect anymore, like oranges. You know, they spray antibiotics on oranges now to control the bug population. I believe it might just be the oranges in Florida, but unless you're buying organic, you don't know if you're ingesting antibiotics. And so you really do have to take care of your gut health, at least in my opinion, and that means daily. So,
well, again, you know, you and I have discussed before, 70 to 80% of the immune system resides in the gut, right? If you are not taking care of your gut and the health of your gut, I don't see any plausible way that you can have an immune system that's going to respond the way that you need it to.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one, I think, one of the most important questions I want to ask you about Immuniflora. And can it really help build immunity for those headed back to an office setting after COVID quarantine or back to school like my daughter? Because there's, you know, the ingredients in it really support healthy lung tissue, right? Or immune health with the lungs?
Correct. So it supports respiratory health. That is covered in the clinical literature for the product. There are some direct randomized human trials that have been conducted in actually both settings that you're talking about. One with school-aged children in terms of symptom and incidence of influenza and colds. And then another in office workers showing that it reduced absenteeism among office mm-hmm. workers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, absolutely. I think, you know, the thing that I always want to convey to people is that, you know, making sure that your body and your immune system is ready to rise to the occasion, whenever that occasion may be, is critically important. Mm-hmm. And even more so now than ever, I think it's brought it into an acute focus for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, making sure that you're taking appropriate steps to do that for you, your loved ones, and your children is well advised.
I love that you can give this to children. And I want to share this with all the moms out there listening, especially the new moms that are maybe breastfeeding. And you might want to close your ears, Jared. I'm going to be very transparent here. I used to take capsules when I was breastfeeding. I don't even remember the name of the brand, but it was, you know, probiotics. And I would, when I was breastfeeding, I would put it on my breast, on my nipples, so that my baby, I didn't do it with my first one because I didn't know enough about it. But my second one, for sure, she's 16 now. But that's a good way for kids to get probiotics too, especially little ones that can't swallow a capsule. That's a great idea, right? I'm a biohacker from back 16 years ago.
So the studies have been done in kids as young as two.
Okay.
But beyond that, if they're exclusively nursing,
yeah,
that's an area you'd want to talk to your practitioner, right? So
yeah.
and obviously I got to put my you know, legal hat on for a second and just make that as a broad disclaimer.
Okay.
But, you know, it should your practitioner, your professional, you know, deem it, you know, appropriate for you. Absolutely. My wife did the same thing when she was nursing with both our children. So, absolutely.
I thought I was so clever coming up with that. See, other women, because we do need to share information like that as mothers, young mothers, that especially my first baby, I didn't know any better. And I didn't have a lot of success breastfeeding my first time. I think I went back to work too soon. But, you know, we all make mistakes as we get through this thing called life. You know, anything else you want us to know about Immuniflora?
I think we covered quite a bit. I just, you know, there's a lot of immune supplements out on the market. There are, especially now amidst the current pandemic, I think that, you know, it's brought a lot of marketers and the like out of the woodwork,
mm-hmm.
you know, making a lot of very bold claims about products, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, because of the, you know, newness of some of these marketers, the claims that are being made are first off, they're wildly outside of FDA allowable, you know, rules. But beyond that, you know, the question is where's the clinical substantiation and what exactly is being claimed when somebody says it supports the immune system? I think that's
mm-hmm.
a important thing to make note of because, again, lots and lots of different cells with them in the immune system, and there's without actually understanding how it works, the mode of action, you know, it's tough to know what exactly it's doing.
Mm. And what about if you already have an autoimmune condition? I'm looking at your website, which, by the way, it's full of a ton of information about so many great things. I encourage everyone to check out enviromedica.com. So what about if you have an autoimmune condition?
So, you know, again, going back to you know, strictly speaking terms here is that there have been no studies that have been conducted directly on patients with autoimmune conditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so to that end, you do want to work with your healthcare practitioner to ascertain whether or not it's appropriate. However, in healthy human candidates and healthy human patients, there has been no abnormal rise in immune system cell presence that would otherwise suggest that it could be an issue, mm-hmm. right? So, so that's basically all we can say about it right now.
Well, yeah, and anecdotally speaking, I have had an autoimmune disorder for years on and off, but I keep it at bay. You know, the last time my body attacked itself was uveitis. I woke up one morning, Jared, about, I don't know, it was about 14 years ago, and I had gone blind in my right eye. And it was very scary. Yeah, I had retina. My retina was bleeding. And anyway, they put me on steroids and brought the bleeding down, but that was the last time my body kind of attacked itself. Before that, multiple miscarriages. I mean, autoimmune disorders come out in many different ways, eczema, all kinds of things. And I think the key is just keeping your immune system strong with products like TerraFlora, Deep Immune and Women's Daily. And also, you know, your magnesium cream that I use at night. I just read something. In fact, let me pull it here. You'll find this interesting. This came out of the Epic Times, but it's the five best and worst anti-aging substances. Did you know that one of the best anti-aging substances is melatonin? Anti-stress properties, as well as its effects on the immune system, have well been researched for their anti-aging effects. And I won't go on reading anymore, but that's one of the key ingredients in your what's the name of the product that you put on? I have it at my bedside.
The
I can't think of it.
Ancient Minerals Good Night.
Lotion. There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that stuff. But I didn't know that melatonin was anti-aging and de-stressing. So there you go. You get two in the same bottle, right?
It absolutely does a lot of different things. It's one of those, again, master molecules in the body.
Yeah. Always great to talk with you. And it was great having you on the show. I hope I didn't talk too much.
Not at all, Bernadette. I always enjoy chatting with you. And again, thanks for having me on.
All right. Jared Ramirez, you guys. He is the CEO of EnviroMedica, makers of TerraFlora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. They've just introduced Immuniflora. I encourage you to go to EnviroMedica.com and check it out. I'm waiting for my boxes today. So we're going to go to break. I've got Mary Fontanez coming up. We're going to be talking about dealing with gender bias in corporate America. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Ronaldo Davis is so good on the music. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. We are live in Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in sunny Southern California. I have a first-time guest on the show today, Mary Fontanez. She is a purpose coach and a founder and CEO of 822 Group, designing intuitive organizations and cultivating purposeful leaders. Previously the managing director of strategy at a global PR company, Mary uses both her corporate strategy and intuitive skills to coach executives and individuals in aligning their business with their higher purpose. I like that. Mary's work has been written up in Business Insider, Conscious Company, Doing Good Business, Kayo Daily, and more. Their website is 822.com. Such an honor, Mary. How are you doing today? Welcome to One Life Radio.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, this is an interesting group, and it's our pleasure, by the way, dealing an interesting topic, I should say, dealing with gender bias in corporate America. So, you know, my first question is, you know, the 2019 women in the workplace study found that 1 in 4 women believe that their gender played a role in missing out on a raise or a promotion. So why are women still being first of all, is that true or is it perception, do you believe? And why are women perhaps still being discriminated against in corporate America? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a lover of data, so I think there's lots of studies out here that prove that that is still unfortunately true, which is maybe surprising to a lot of people because we've made some significant strides, absolutely, but there's still some areas where there's work to do. So I do believe that those studies are accurate, and I really think that the reason that we're still in this place is because of our conditioning as people. We have been taught for a very long time through storylines, through media, through things we see and hear, that leadership characteristics that are valued are masculine. You know, there's a hero narrative that we've all bought into that gets, again, kind of really framed for us through the things we watch and we consume. And so because leadership is seen as masculine still, even us women buy into the narrative that you have to have certain behaviors, characteristics, and strengths that maybe for some of us is not naturally who we are. And so I think as women too, we don't lean into our natural instinctual leadership style sometimes because we want to be something else that we've told is more valuable. Mm-hmm. And because of that unconscious bias, we allow ourselves to be held back and, you know, decision makers continue to reward behaviors that have been traditionally pointed out as valuable leadership behaviors.
Yeah. Wow. You said a mouthful. I've got so many thoughts that I can't even get them all out. I can't even think about what I want to say, truthfully, because this is something that really, so I've employed a lot of women. I've employed a lot of men. And gosh, I mean, there's some things that I really want to say, but I'm afraid to say them. I'll get a ton of emails. But, you know, I think from my perspective, men complain less. That's I'm being completely transparent here. In my in my experience, women complain more than men do, and sometimes that makes it much easier to manage them when you're managing people or expecting them to really do their job well. I mean, women, unfortunately, you said they're the masculine or the hero. Women are feminine, and I don't think some of us, we can't help that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Being feminine has so many wonderful what do I want to say? Attributes are wonderful. It's wonderful to be a woman. And none of us should be ashamed of being women or try to stop ourselves from being women. I think that women can be great leaders. And I think they can do it with more compassion than men. And so we do have that advantage. But, you know, I think some of the gender biases that I've seen personally throughout my career are some of them are mainly, are not mainly, but a lot of them have been from other women as well. Maybe sometimes even more. Have you ever experienced that?
I do experience, and it's interesting to actually just to get to your point about women complaining less. I actually would reframe that. I don't think that, you know, that experience of yours is wrong. It's your experience. However, I think looking at it from the perception of how empowered are the men or how empowered do they feel to just make change or do things the way they want, where women still feel like they have to ask for permission. And that can be absolutely seen as complaining. But I think that there is an entitlement that men have and have been handed through society that they can just do. And women really feel like they have to, and I don't want to generalize.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, that I think we still are stuck in this construct of we have to ask for permission, and so therefore we have to explain it, and that can come out as a complaint. And I think when I consult women leaders, that's the one thing I say is that you're not in a leadership role to ask for permission, and you don't need to explain your leadership. You need to stand in your power. And I think that's something as women that we absolutely need to learn. And I think that you're right. Sometimes our biases against each other work against us and our growth. And I think that that goes back to the way we've been conditioned. And not all women, by the way, are compassionate leaders.
No, so they're not.
Women that aren't naturally compassionate run into problems because there is a perception that because you're female, you have to be softer, nurturing, compassionate. Well, what if that's not who you are? Should you try to pretend like you are, right? So there's this inauthenticity I think we face either way that is an obstacle for us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very compassionate. A person just in general. I mean, I always have been, but I like to get the job done too. And when it comes to work, I like people to take their job really serious. Does that make me, you know, people, you know, the word I'm going to go to, you know, it's like if a woman behaves like a man, then she's a, you know what, you know, everybody says that. Right. And that's got to go away, because a woman has a right, as you said, to be a leader and to exercise her strongest character and talents that she has. And there's just a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of mess around this subject of gender bias in corporate America.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, having honest conversations is the first way out of the mess. And I know you said, you know, there's things you're going to say, you're going to get a lot of emails, but that's how it's got to start. Because if we keep, you know, putting our head under the sand and pretending like it's okay, it's never going to change. So I think the uncomfortable conversations are where it's at.
Yeah, and I was reading, actually, Ego is the Enemy this morning. I read every morning by Ryan Holiday, and I just happened to fall onto the chapter about maintain your sobriety, and it was about Angela Merkel, is the antithesis of nearly every assumption we make about a head of state, especially a German one. She is plain. She is modest. She cares little for presentation or flash. She gives no fiery speeches. She has no interest in expansion or domination. Mostly, she is quiet and reserved, and it goes on to say a lot more about her, but she's stoic, she's smart, you know, and you know, and people don't like that either in women. They're like, oh, you know, they expect us to be stoic, they expect us to be modest, they expect us to be beautiful and sexy and all these things. And I just wish that that men especially would just accept every woman for who she is and look at the good in her and not pick her apart.
Well, that's only going to happen after we accept ourselves first.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the most powerful place to start. I think we explain ourselves too much. We ask, like I said, for forgiveness too much, and we don't accept our own natural abilities. And until we start standing in that power, as I say, and really owning it, it's really hard to expect men to see it.
Mm-hmm. I love having this conversation. I don't think I've ever had this conversation on the air with anyone, and it's quite refreshing.
That's
but let
good.
Me ask. Yeah, no, I'm loving this. I love your energy too, Maury. It's great to have you on the show with us. So, you know, should a woman accept any amount of bias or discrimination in the workplace if they want to get ahead?
Well, accept, no, but understand the terrain you're operating in, yes. And I think that those are two very different things. I think you have to have your eyes wide open and look at your environment and understand what works for you and against you in that environment so that you can change it.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting it, I think, means you see it and you just give up. You think that that's just the way that it's going to have to be. So no, I don't think you have to accept the bias, but I think you need to have your eyes wide open to it and then find deliberate ways that are authentic to you for changing it, whether that's calling it out in a collaborative way, whether that's really focusing on your own abilities and honing them and just focusing on, you know, doing the job well for who you are. But focusing on the change is, I think, the best way to deal with bias in the environment and not have to accept it, because accepting it, I think, creates resentment, and then we can't be our best selves.
I'm loving this conversation, and I might add, and no excuses. I don't like excuses. I like to get the job done and do it well.
Yeah.
More coming up, you guys. It's been great. We're going to continue on with Maury Fontanez. Is that how you pronounce your name? Is it Fontanez or Fontanez?
Fontanez.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back with more of you on One Life Radio, talking about dealing with gender bias in corporate America. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I'm not your lover, I'm not your
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we are continuing on with Maury Fontanez. She is a purpose coach and the founder and CEO of 822 Group, designing intuitive organizations and cultivating purposeful leaders. Maury uses both her corporate strategy and intuitive skills to coach executives and individuals in aligning their businesses with their higher purpose. You can find her at 822group.com. That's 822group.com. We're talking today about dealing with gender biases in corporate America. So let's continue this conversation, Maury. Are you ready?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, as a woman of color, can you tell us about any instances where you've personally experienced gender or race bias?
Oh, my God. Where do I start? Yeah, I've definitely experienced it a lot. I think, you know, one of the most common things I hear from women in corporate America that I experienced was being called overly aggressive. I worked in a, you know, global firm, which is very competitive to get ahead. And anytime I had an idea that I felt strongly about that I had to push people really hard on, I would always get feedback that I was overly aggressive. And it was really clear to me that the men around me never, ever got that feedback. So I think broadly, that's one example. Another is just even now, you know, when I'm in consulting situations, I sometimes work with other consultants and I will have, you know, CEOs hear me out, hear my perspective, and then turn to the man on the call and make sure that what I'm saying is right.
Wow.
And I've been so lucky because I've had some really great partnerships where the, you know, the gentleman will say, I really think you need to listen to what Maury's telling you right now. She has 20 years of experience in crisis management, for example, and they will continue to double check with the man on the call. So I face it even today, you know, 20 years into it, running my own business. And, you know, I've grown and I don't let it trigger me any longer. But it's very prevalent. Absolutely.
Well, and I know for myself, my own experience, I'm being the devil's advocate here, because when I get an opinion where we're sitting having a roundtable discussion, you know, I don't think that's the particular instance that you're talking about, but I like to get everyone's opinion before I make my decision. I like to hear what everyone has to say most often. And so I don't know. And maybe it's a, you know, and it's difficult to be a woman in business. It is. You do get oversensitive. I mean, I've done work that I've never got recognition for because I'm not a man and they don't want to hear about it. Even some of I'm gonna call out the Dallas Business Journal. You know, I won't go into the story, but you know, there's just so much adulation for men and not women. When behind the scenes, women do a lot of incredible work, and they are the ones that should be getting the credit. I mean, it's been going on since the beginning of time. I don't know quite why we haven't evolved more to try to overcome this obstacle, but it still exists. But I do believe that there are extreme benefits to having a diverse workforce, and I know that you do too. Can we talk about how diversity encourages growth in a company?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been, you know, working with a lot of organizations, especially based on what we're facing as a country right now, you know, as we look at race and helping organizations think about what they want to do around diversity. And the one thing I always tell them is I want you to equate the word diversity with innovation. Diversity just means that you are able to open the stream of innovation and expand it into a number of channels because you have people with different experiences and backgrounds and ways of thinking contributing to what you as a company are doing. And so I really think it's important as we talk diversity and inclusion in order not to make that a silo of, you know, some work that's happening on the side and to understand how integral it is into the company to start thinking about it as innovation.
Well, I know you're familiar with the book, The Feminine Mystique by, I believe it's Betty Friedan. I don't know if you've ever, it's a fascinating book and all the things that we deal with as women. But how are companies working to become more diverse? Please tell me that they are in your circle.
That it ranges. I see that there's a response right now. And I think there's a spectrum. And I think on one end of the spectrum, the response from corporations is to do something to show that they get it and that they need to respond to what's happening in the climate today. And that's really great, but sometimes those are very shallow check the box efforts, right? It'll be let's hire someone or let's name a chief diversity officer. As the spectrum goes into really being effective, I'm loving some of the trainings I'm seeing that are mandatory. Like I said in the beginning, we all have unconscious bias, and I think unconscious bias is really important. Mm-hmm. The other one I'm seeing is just organizations really hosting open conversations where everyone gets to talk about what it feels like to work there, what decision-making looks like, what collaboration looks like, bringing in good facilitators. We do this a lot. We facilitate a lot of sessions where we just help people align on their goals. And mm-hmm. I think that having that kind of conversation around diversity is really important. What are you trying to accomplish, really? And then I think, lastly, what I'm really seeing is, you know, all the way on the other end of the spectrum is, you know, companies really making commitments that are meaningful and that range across everything they do, that they don't take diversity and inclusion and they just put it, like I said, in a silo, but that they're very thoughtful about across every single department and product that we create and that we have, how are we going to increase diversity every single day? And mm-hmm. that kind of consistency and focus and dedication to it is the kind of thing that gets me really excited to see that there's actually change happening in this subject.
Well, that's what change is what came to, that was the word that was in my mind as I was listening to you speak. And that is what's going to create this change. A little tiny steps every single day and consistency and just keeping an open mind about the diversity and the greatness that women bring into corporate America. So we've only got about a minute. What advice do you have for women wanting leadership roles in today's corporate environment?
I think you have to get to know yourself really well and really understand what your strengths are and own them. And don't try to be something that somebody else has told you is what success looks like, but really become in relationship with your strengths and lead with those things and truly be yourself. And anyone's problem with you is theirs. It really is not for you to solve. It's for them to solve.
Oh, I love that. I love that. What a great way to end the show and your segments on One Life Radio. Thank you so much, Maury. It's a pleasure, really a pleasure to get to know you.
It was wonderful speaking with you. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. My pleasure. We'll have to talk again sometime soon. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. I always enjoy doing the show, and I hope you have a great day. Embrace it. You're not going to get it back because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. You are not going to get this day back. So make the most of it.